just for a little while today, I want to talk to us from a particular subject. I have a title that I want to give to us today, and it's simply this: it is time to grow. It's time to grow. I believe if you walked into this house today, you made the effort to get up this morning, seeing what the forecast was going to be, get the kids ready, and make your journey to Life Church, I believe that it's in your heart that I want to grow deeper. I want to grow to greater heights than I ever have before in the things of God. I don't want to remain stagnant. I don't want to just stay at the status quo. I want to grow higher, and I want to grow deeper. Is that the heart's cry of anyone in this room besides me? Just say amen if it's you. It's time to grow. And for the next few minutes, I want to talk about how we deal with disappointment. Dealing with disappointment. You know what disappointment it is that you're dealing with right now. Maybe it's that thing that nobody else in your life even knows about. Maybe it's that thing that you can't really even talk to anyone about. There's this parable that Jesus used, and it's an illustration that really has many different potential applications, but I want to use it today to illustrate some of the disappointments in our lives. The disappointments that maybe are a result of unwatered and unfertilized areas of our lives. Jesus has come on the scene, and he's teaching, and he's healing, and he's blessing, and he's feeding multitudes, and yet he's very disappointed in what he is seeing and what he has found in the religious community, the church world of his day, if you will, where he expected to find mercy. People were getting trampled upon, where he expected to see concern for the downcast and the poor. These poor people were being used only as stepping stones for the religious elite. And so the doors that he came to swing wide open had now been barred shut by rules and regulations and tradition. In a sense, he's using this parable to illustrate really his own disappointment, if you will, with the system that was supposed to produce life and strength for people in his day who were in need. And so to break it down for the crowd that was listening that day, he uses a parable. It's in Luke chapter 13, beginning in verse 9. It says, "He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, 'Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?' But the keeper, the manager of the vineyard, he replied to the owner of the vineyard. He says, 'Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down.'" There's a million different ways to interpret this text, but I'd like to begin with what is probably the most obvious application. Let me just say it this way: it's got to grow or it's got to go. That's basically what he's saying. It's got to grow or it's got to go. The most obvious application of this text is this: God is not interested in allowing unfruitfulness to reign in our lives and just take up valuable space. God has a purpose. He has a plan for everything in our lives. And this unfruitfulness, this place of stagnation, this place of no growth, God says, I don't want this taking up valuable space in your life. Let me back up to verse 6 where we started, when he said a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. Can I just say it this way? We cannot produce what God didn't plant. I can't produce out of my life what God didn't plant in my life. It said that the man planted a fig tree in his vineyard, and he came looking for figs, because that's what you do when you look for figs on a fig tree. I mean, Captain Obvious here today. He wanted to pick what he planted. God never picks what he didn't plant. And a lot of times we're disappointed and we're frustrated in our lives, and it's because we're trying to produce apples and God planted figs in our lives. And so now we're exhausted. Now we're weary. Now we're discouraged. We're heavy in spirit. We're feeling like failures because we're trying to grow oranges and we don't live in Florida. We can only produce what was planted in us. And that's what I love about God. People will try to pick things apart about your life, things that are not really a part of your purpose and your destiny. But God will never do that. Anytime he picks something, you can bet, and it is a sure indication that he is the one who planted it there. So for mothers in this room today who are feeling frustrated about raising children in today's world, I want you to understand that God picked you. God chose you to raise that child that's in your house today. God planted that child in your house because he knew that you could handle the challenges that it would bring. God picked you. He wouldn't have put that child in your house if he didn't pick you to be the one to raise that child. All of you know, most of you in this room know that we have a precious 8-year-old son. He's our youngest. His name is Boston. And Boston brings an incredible amount of joy and fulfillment and happiness into our home. And we love this child with everything that's within us. But many of you know that we also have some very difficult challenges with Boston. He just turned 8 years old last month. And in 8 years, we've never been able to even have a conversation with our son. Yes, he's very physically strong and healthy and active, and mentally he probably can outbrain all of us combined in this room, but he can't process it. He doesn't know how to process his emotions. He doesn't know how to process his thoughts. He can't communicate the way that you and I communicate. And so it's a daily challenge. And with all the joy and with all the happiness and fulfillment that comes with raising this amazing child, I'm telling you, it is a daily challenge. 90% of that challenge rests on the shoulders of my wife, Kayla. She does an incredible job. But with all of the challenge and with all of the uncertainties and with all the fear that comes along with having a child with special needs, and there's some of you in this room today that have children with special needs, and you know that responsibility. You know that weight and that fear that you feel sometimes. But I want to remind every one of us today, at the end of the day, I can tell you what the Bates family does. We count ourselves privileged at the end of the day that God chose us. God entrusted this child to us. It was a gift that God gave us. He picked us. How honored we are that we were chosen for this special child. But the truth is, people will try to pick things apart about your life that are not a real part of your purpose and destiny. And so much of our fear and anxiety is found in trying to meet those unstated and imaginary expectations of people who don't even know what's in us. And a question for all of us to ask ourselves today is this: have we been so busy trying to meet others' expectations that we have neglected God's expectations of our lives? And now we find our growth stunted because we're trying to produce something that wasn't planted in us. We're trying to be somebody that we're not. We're trying to excel in something that we weren't even called to do. Have you ever been around someone like that who's always trying to become something that God didn't begot in them? It's awkward. It's embarrassing. You're embarrassed watching them sometimes. They're trying to have something on the branches that's not in the genetic code of the seed in their life. We can't do it. We'll never be able to produce what we could have produced because we're too busy trying to produce what we'll never produce. Let me say that one more time, slow it down a little bit. We'll never be able to produce what we could have produced because we're too busy trying to produce what we'll never produce. I guess the easiest and the quickest way to say this is you do you. You do you. You be you, and you do you. I look at my own life, 46 years of age. I'm standing here on this stage ministering to you, and there's a certain calling and a certain purpose that God has placed on my life, and I have to continually remind myself, God picked me. I'm going to tell you something. I get nervous. I get butterflies in my stomach. I have all kinds of insecurities about every aspect of what I do. I'm super intimidated, but I have to continually remind myself that God picked me to do what I do with all of my shortcomings, with all of my weaknesses, with all of my inadequacies. I understand that there are much better preachers than me. You know that. There are much better pastors than me. Most preachers are more effective communicators than me. I'm not doing what I do because I'm so good at what I do. I'm here because God planted in the soil of my heart a destiny. And if I manifest the destiny that he put inside of me, I won't have to worry about the expectations of others because I only have one to please, and that's the one who planted me. And everything that he planted in you, it shall come to pass. And I hope this is going to set some folks free today because we were not made to produce apples. We weren't made to produce oranges. We live in Winnsboro, Louisiana, Franklin Parish. We were supposed to produce cotton and corn and soybean. Can I get an amen, Matt Myers, in the house today? It's the Holy Franklin Parish Trinity is what it is. We're in Winnsboro, Louisiana. We need to produce what was planted in us for the glory of God. In this parable, there's this one tree. There's this one tree that won't do what it's supposed to do. It says that he walked up to that one tree. The NIV says this. It says it this way. It says that the fig tree was growing in the vineyard. It was growing. And this is interesting because this means that externally it was getting bigger and it was getting taller, but there was nothing beneath the leaves. It says that the tree was growing, but it wasn't really growing. It was growing, but it wasn't fruitful. It was becoming something to the eye that it was not within. It was producing outward beauty, but it wasn't producing any fruit. I feel like this is us sometimes. We're learning how to cover our own disappointments and our own disillusionments with the appearance of growth. But the owner came and looked beneath the leaves and he said, "This isn't working. There's nothing growing here." He went to look for fruit on it and he didn't find any. Can I just say it this way? It's really disappointing. It's a really disappointing thing when you reach for something that you did plant and it isn't there. When you raised your kids the right way and they still went the wrong way. When you did all the right things and your life still fell apart. When you took the right steps in your marriage and it still ended in divorce. I planted something and now that thing is not being produced. And so he comes up to the tree, and I love the guy who's managing the vineyard, the keeper of the vineyard, because the guy who owns the vineyard tells the guy who's managing the vineyard, he says, "What I planted and what this tree is producing, the two are not reconciling with one another." And most people in this situation would just simply make excuses. Well, see, the tree is having problems because of the soil, because of the environment that it's in. But the problem with that is that you have to look around the rest of the vineyard. And instead of making excuses for the environment, we have to stop and look that all the other trees in the vineyard are growing just fine. They're all producing just fine. So it's not an environment problem. It's not a soil problem. A lot of times we want to use our environment as an excuse for why we're not growing. Well, this happened to me in my life. I was victimized in this way. I had this unfair situation happen in my life, and that's why I am the way that I didn't have a dad growing up. Well, what about all the others who are growing and succeeding and producing fruit and living a life of purpose who grew up without a dad? But see, many times we would rather blame where we're planted. We would rather play the victim. It's easier to do that. But can I tell you, there's somebody sitting not far from where you're sitting and sitting somewhere not far from where I'm standing right now who has done more with less than what I have today. There's people who have less money than I do and you do, and they have more joy. There's somebody sitting not far from you who's operating at a lower level of employment but has more influence than we do. And if we're ever going to grow and if we're ever going to get past our disappointments as a dead end for why we can't grow any further, we're gonna have to stop blaming the soil. We're gonna have to stop blaming the environment for why we're not growing higher, why we're not growing stronger. People leave churches all the time and they say that common phrase all the time. "Well, I just wasn't growing there. I just wasn't being fed. I wasn't growing there." Well, maybe it wasn't the quality. Sometimes it is. I'll just be honest. There are dead churches out there that, you know, you're having to pour way more in than you're ever going to get out of serving God in that place and in that family or that place of worship. But maybe it wasn't the quality of the soil that kept us from growing. Maybe it was the depth of our root in that soil that caused the tree not to bear any fruit. So we have to grow. It's time to grow, and it's time to grow where we are planted. God puts you in the home that he puts you in for a reason. God puts you in the community that he puts you in for a reason. God puts you in the church. Whatever it is, we got to grow where we're planted. We got to quit looking at the soil and saying, "Well, I'm not growing because of this. I got to get out there. The grass is always greener on the other side. If I could be there, I could grow." No, it's what's in us. He planted that in us. Grow where we're planted. Most of the time, we don't need a new environment. We don't need different soil. We just need a new approach where we start taking what's been given to us, what's been invested in us, what we have, and we get it down deep in our soil where we're already planted. We get it deep in the soil where we're already planted. We got to grow where we're planted. It's time to grow. The manager, the keeper of the vineyard, he said to the owner, he said, "Sir, I'm not going to make excuses for this. You're absolutely right. This tree had every opportunity to grow." But listen to what he said in verse 8. He said, "I need to dig around it. I need to dig around it a little bit." Here's an important thing for us to realize. If we have that area in our life that's not producing, if we have that area of our life where we're not seeing fruit, that maybe that place in our life where we're not seeing the progress that we need to see, where we're not moving forward, maybe there's that addiction that we've never been able to overcome, maybe there's that one area where maybe we just kind of go back and forth. One week we're in and the next week we're out, and we all have our things in our life. But as long as we're looking at the level of the leaves, as long as we're just looking at the leaves, we'll never solve the problem where it really starts. Let me just say it this way. The place where it shows is not the place where it grows. The place where it grows is not the place where it shows. See, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were experts at arranging the leaves of the religious system of that day. Everything looked very wonderful with them. The tassels on their robes were perfectly kept. The words out of their mouth were very eloquent. But Jesus said, "There's a root problem. It's something. It's the stuff you can't see with the natural eye. It's the stuff you can't see on the leaf level, if you will." And that's why here at Life Church, we're so committed to preaching to the heart of the matter, not the behavior. We want to speak to the belief system, not the behavior, because every behavior is driven by a belief. We don't have a sin conscience here at Life Church. We don't sit here and preach about sin all day long. We want to preach a God conscience, because if I'm focused on Him, if I have a God conscience, then that will take care of the sin problem in itself. I ought to get about 500 amens to that. And there ain't even 500 people in the room. And to really understand why my life isn't fruitful, I'll have to dig around the root system. Maybe I've been blaming the soil for a while. Maybe that's what I've been doing, but I've not been willing to get my hands dirty. I've not been willing to dig around it and find what the real root cause or what the real root problem of it is. Why am I so angry with my kids all the time? Is it because of their behavior? Or is it because I'm embarrassed of how they're making me look? Why am I always so frustrated with my spouse? Is it my frustration with her, or is it my frustration with myself that's just easier to project on her? Because if I project it on her, then I don't have to look at me and I don't have to deal with me. I have to begin to look in the mirror. I have to begin to dig around it. Can I just tell you today that a good word from God, I'm so thankful for the word that we heard this past Wednesday night that reminded us of the power of God's word and what it does in our lives. But a good word from God, a good time in His presence, will begin to excavate the things in our lives that have been buried, that have been keeping our tree barren. I got to dig around it. A good question for all of us to answer today is this: when's the last time we really allowed God to dig around in our lives? When's the last time we really just opened up our lives and say, "God, do with me. Excavate what you need to. Expose what you need to. Dig around the root system of my life." It's painful. It's painful to expose the roots to water. It's painful, but it requires digging all around it. It requires confessing some things sometimes. I know I said I got fired from my last three jobs because they didn't like me, but maybe if all three jobs didn't like me, maybe the common denominator is me. Maybe it's not always the soil, because all the other trees were growing there. There's all these other people that have worked in the same company for 20 plus years. It might be me. It might not be everybody else. When I was going through that tough time in my life and nobody called me, it might be me. It might be me that never picked up the phone and reached out to others. It might be me. It's called digging around it. Digging around it requires us to look at ourselves. It forces us to look at the real reason, the root cause of the things in our lives that's causing us not to produce. Why do I really spend more money than I make? Is it because they said I would never make it, and now I want to prove to them that I am, and so but yet really I'm not? I truly believe that we can begin to experience a growth in God that we've never known before. But just like in the parable, we're going to have to dig a little deeper. We're going to have to dig around the root system a little bit like we never have before. We've got to address things at a root level in our lives. I've got to dig. I can't grow if I don't dig. I can't grow higher if I don't grow lower. If I don't bow my knees and say, God, only you can fix this. And now I'm opening up my heart. I'm truly, without reservation, opening up my heart and asking you, God, to shine a light. Begin to dig around in my life and show me the root cause. That's why worship is so powerful. That's why we put so much emphasis on worship here at Life Church. It's so powerful because worship has the ability to get down into the deep places of our lives that nothing else can touch. And if the tree is going to get water at the root, it has to be dug out around it. So when we begin to worship God, when we begin to sing songs like, I'm a child of God, even when we feel like we're a slave to sin, it creates an exposure to our roots to get water from the Word of God. And when that Word hits those roots, all of a sudden it begins to grow. And all of a sudden our lives start to fill with the fruit that it was intended to produce because our root system has now been exposed to and in the presence of God. Every time we enter into worship, God can begin to dig a little bit deeper around our root system and around our lives. And every time we ingest God's word, and every time we meditate on that word, God can dig a little bit more. Every time we position ourselves to allow him to dig a little bit, God will release a word. He'll begin to bring water, living water, into those barren places and expose what's wrong and what's been wrong for years or even decades in our lives. And so the keeper of the vineyard, he said this. He said, let me dig around it. Let me just dig around it a little bit. Let me do the hard work before you cut it down. Don't you think it's quite interesting how you and I, we will give up on people so easily when God has had been so patient with us? I'm so quick to cast stones. I'm so quick to point out everybody else's failures and why they can't get it. And yet God, in his infinite grace and mercy in my life, has been so patient with me. When I wasn't producing, when I was sitting there dormant, God, the keeper would come by and say, give him a little more time. Let me dig around on him a little bit more. Let me bring some water into his life. He said, let's give it another year. And then this is what he said. He says, I'm going to do two things. If you give him one more year, I'm going to do two things. I'm going to dig around it. We just talked about that. And I'm going to fertilize it. Now listen. We're all good Northeast Louisiana folks here. We're all very familiar with the agricultural world. We all know that there is nothing pleasant about fertilizer. We all know what it is. It's the elephant in the room. I'm not even going to say it out loud. We know what fertilizer is. I mean, they make that synthetic stuff, but I mean, I'm talking about real, true, the stuff that really works. Ethan Poland. Is Ethan and Kaylin here today? Are you here today? Ethan farms several hundred acres just south of where we live on Courthouse Road, and at least once a year the old dump truck's going to pull up on the turn row there and dump a big old mound of fertilizer. A nice word, soft on the palate, to say what it really is. And it's okay as long as it's piled up there in that little mound, but then they come out there with the spreaders and they start spreading that stuff. And you catch a good little northeast wind off of that field, it hits my house just right. And I step out on my front yard or my back porch, and I mean, it hits you in the face. And it is not pleasant. It is quite disgusting. And my first thought is, oh my God, I think I'm going to throw up in my mouth right now. That's my first thought. But you know what my second thought is? Thank you, Lord. That's life and growth That's provision for my dear friends, Ethan and Kaylin and their family. That there's life that's going to come out of that. It's singeing my nose hairs right now, but life and growth is coming out of this. Everybody wants the fruit, but nobody wants the fertilizer. I want to develop, but I don't want to dig. What's God going to do if I ask him to grow my life? He's going to begin to dig around my root system, and then he's going to fertilize it. Anybody ready for some good fertilizer to be dumped on your life today? That means there's going to be some stuff that he's going to have to allow to be shoveled on my life that I didn't order up. You know how God deals with disappointment in our lives? By giving us disappointment and teaching us how to deal with it. Okay, I'm going to say that one more time. Do you know how God deals with disappointment in our lives? It's by giving us disappointment and teaching us how to deal with it. Amen, Brother Kevin, that is awesome. That's good preaching. I've experienced that in my life. I'm going to dig around it, and I'm going to fertilize it, he says. It's a process that more than likely in most of our lives is going to play out this way. Maybe even this next week, some stuff is going to get dumped on your field. And before, you would have seen it as a failure. But I got news for you today. When we understand that God is the gardener of our lives and that he's working in all things that we can't see to address the places that we can't see, we realize that even our failures become fertilizer when it's in God's hands. My failure is fertilizer. That's what faith does. Faith doesn't keep failure out of our life. It just turns our fertilizer into fruit. It's not failure. It's just fertilizer. Has life dumped on you lately? Has life dropped something off on you that smothered you? Have you felt buried by some things that have come your way? I want to remind all of us today that the very thing that we thought was meant to bury us was the very thing that God was going to use to bring us to a whole new level and produce the fruit in our lives that he intended on all along. Because everything in his presence is changed into something that can grow me, that can change me, that can sanctify me, that can make me whole. It can teach me how to trust. It can teach me how to wait. It can fortify me. It can build my character. And it can give me a hope that does not disappoint. So thank you, devil. Thank you, devil, for that time you shoveled all that fertilizer on my life. That time you gave me a good shovel full of bad news. It's nothing but fertilizer to make my faith in God grow. I'm gonna praise him all the more because I'm growing. When I'm hurting, I'm growing. When I'm confused, I'm growing. When life is uncertain, I'm growing. When I'm persecuted, Jesus says, get happy when they talk bad about you. That means you're in good company. In that early church, the only way they could grow was through persecution. And the only way my life can grow is to go through some things that should have killed me, but instead they made me stronger at the root. At the root. You see, my roots are getting stronger. I'm like a tree planted by the streams of water. I yield my fruit in its season. My leaf does not wither, and whatever I do will prosper because I'm planted in the right place and I'm fortified in the right soil, and my faith knows how to take fertilizer and turn it into fruit. I'm closing. Come on, Landy. The owner of the vineyard said, cut it down. Cut it down. But the manager stood on the other side. The keeper of the vineyard stood on the other side of the tree and said, let it live. The owner said, cut it down. The manager said, let it live. The justice of God, the justice of God says, cut it down. They've sinned against me. But the mercy of God stood up and said, let it live. Could it be that we're seeing in this passage, in this parable, a picture of the mercy of God in our lives, that where he could have cut us down because we did not grow, grace said, give it another chance, and another chance after that, and another chance out of that. That makes me think about another tree. Another tree. It was a cursed tree where they hung Jesus. He hung on that tree, and he became the spotless lamb. He became that perfect sacrifice, and he died, and he did it for you, and he did it for me. And when Jesus stood up to preach in the temple, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord's favor." The manager of the vineyard says, "Give it one more year. Give him one more year." Jesus came to extend to you and me grace, the grace of God that we didn't deserve, but he so freely gave it. Because where justice said we should have been cut down, mercy said, let him live. I see something. We need to do a little digging. We need to do a little fertilizing. We need to do a little water. But I see something that justice doesn't see. It's the mercy of God. And I want every person under the sound of my voice today to know this. I don't care where you come from. I don't care what your Saturday night looked like last night. I don't care what kind of failure there is in your past. I want you to know something. Hear it from my voice, but please know it's coming from the Lord today. You are not a disappointment to God. You may be a disappointment to yourself. You may feel like you've let everybody in your world down. But to the God who created you, the God who knew you before you were ever conceived in your mother's womb, he is not disappointed in you. He foresaw and he foreknew every failure, and he accounted for it. And he knew some things about our lives that we're just now finding out. And he said, even those things that you want to hide are the very things that I'm willing to dig around so that you can grow to become everything I saw it in my mind concerning you before you were ever even born. We have within us the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, and nothing that life can throw on it can keep it from growing. Nothing that your ex-spouse can throw on it can keep it from growing. Nothing that your absentee parent or any abusive spouse threw on you can keep it from growing. Nothing that any failure in your past has thrown on you can keep it from growing, because we are grounded in grace. And grace stepped down from heaven and began to dig around the root system of our heart and our life. This is what grace did. Grace rolled up his sleeves and said, let me get to work on this. I know they've been trying to grow in their own effort. I know they've been trying to grow with their own strength and their own will, but this is a job for grace and grace alone. This is a job for mercy, and only grace can dig out all those issues. Only grace can dig out all those fears and all those insecurities. And the next time I see you, you won't look the same. The next time I see you, your limbs are going to be heavier with fruit in this season, in this time, in this moment. God's been digging around in your life. It wasn't to destroy you. It was to develop you. It's time to grow. It's time to grow. It's time to grow. Would you stand with me today across this room? And this is how I want to end this service today. We're gonna end with a little time of worship before we leave. But before we do, I want to invite you to come to the master of the vineyard. Come to the keeper of the vineyard. Maybe you've tried it all on your own. You've tried fixing up everything. You've tried doing it all your own way. You've tried to manipulate it in your mind to figure it all out. And you've hit a dead end every single time. And all the while, the keeper of the vineyard is saying, look, all I need to do is just dig around a little bit. We just got to get to the source of the issues and the problems. And let my grace and let my mercy do the work. And you just submit it all to me and let me do it in your life, and I will begin to produce some things in your life that you never thought was possible. So today, I want us just to have a time, an altar time, if you will. Certainly, the front of this room is open if you want to come to the front of this building today while we worship and bend a knee and present it all to the Lord. But you can do it right where you stand or sit too. You can sit back in your seat. You can kneel at the chair in front of you. It doesn't matter about the particular place in the building you are. It's all about where our heart is and connecting it to the keeper of the vineyard and saying, God, I've got all these unanswered questions, but I just need you to, I need you to dig a little bit. I've been blaming everything else in life for all of my problems. I've been looking to everything else to try to fix my problems. And God, today, I'm just asking you to begin to expose the root system. Lord, put your water, your living water into my life and fertilize my heart and my soul so that I can absorb and receive everything that you want to do and produce what you want to produce. It's time to grow. Father, I thank you today for your presence. I thank you for your word, God, that is living. It's ever living in our lives, God. I thank you that today, I pray that you'll go past the feeble lips and vocabulary of the guy standing on the platform today, God, and let your living word begin to penetrate every heart and life. And today, God, if there be that individual in this room today that's come in with more questions than answers, it's hit more daddy in roads than they want to count. God, maybe that just doesn't know if there even is a purpose for their tomorrow and their future. God, that today, as we humble ourselves before you, God, bring out the shovel, God. Bring out the excavator, God, and begin to dig away, Lord, around the root system of our life. Show us, God. Show us our deficiency. Show us, God, our need of you today. And then, God, you begin to do the miraculous. God, you begin to do what only you can do. As we put our faith in you, God, you turn that fertilizer into fruit, God. And I pray that today some amazing things begin to be produced in the hearts and lives of individuals, of spouses, of families, God, and homes. And we thank you for it today, God. Have your way in every heart and life. We pray this in Jesus' name as we worship today.